Rabbeinu also says the Da'i should know sheish kama rishonim she'osro lekarvam tachas kankei adosei. There are many rishonim whom it's osro to be mekarev. Ki heim moiridim es hamekarvam im avegosoi. They cause the one who is mekarevim to go down from his madrega, rachmona letzlan. Kemoi shemetzidu dabai moishe, as we find on Moishe Rabbeinu shekirei v'soi erev rav, he was mekarev the erev rav. V'achakach al yidei zeh omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leich rei. And then Hashem told him, leich rei, go down. Reid mehalech shelcho, the Gemara says. Go down from your madrega. Which madrega was Moishe Rabbeinu on at that time? The 50th degree. Leich is begimatria 50. Hashem told him, reid, go down from the bechina of 50. Why? Because you were mekarev ones whom you weren't supposed to. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ve'ein reid lech reid ki shiches amcho." Hashem didn't say ki shiches am Yisrael because your nation destroyed the ones whom you are mekarev, whom I warned you not to be mekarev. They destroyed. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ve'ein koyach b'mishpotana lahachnia hora shelohem." And no matter how big the tzaddik is, and he has such a super powerful type of mishpot, the mishpot is not powerful enough to be machnia their ra. Ukishein mishpot azai bo kilku godoy rachmon otzlan. And when the mishpot isn't sufficient, this causes tremendous damage. Hein b'malochim hanas malidei mishpotanal. Ribua also mustachina v'ikula ribua, which we touched on in the beginning of the Torah. Note a very, very interesting item. Very interesting. A person getting married, we mentioned many times, is a bechina of being mekarev someone to serving Hashem. You're taking somebody who's on a lower madrega than you, and you're being mekarev them, right? And what does the Torah tell us about being mekarev somebody? You want to know the one ingredient which, if a person has, you could be the biggest tzaddik, you could be the Breslov Rebbe, Rabbi Nizal, you can't be mekarev this one. The one ingredient is gaiva. That one ingredient, if a person has that, osur to be mekarev at all. What do we find when it comes to getting married? The Torah tells us there are two types of wines. Maitzi, matzah, matzah, maitzah. There's matzah isha, matzah taif. There's a wife who's good. And there's maitzi anies ha isha mar mimoves. There's ha isha with the hey hayediya. The one who has das. The one who wants to become niskaret, but with his own das. He doesn't want to be mevatel his das. That one also to be mekarev because it's mar mimoves. It's bitterer than death. You're going to try to be misaken that. It's a klipa that's so powerful, it'll pull you down. Not only won't you perfect her, but she'll pull you down with her. What's the example that's given of being mekarev people who are no good, who want to be miskarev? The Erev Rav. The Chidot Zal says, Nazir HaKodesh, you know what the Erev Rav was? Moshe Rabbeinu was das dikdusha. The Erev Rav was the Das de Klipa. Erev Rav is exactly Begimatria Das. Ayin Reish Beis, Reish Beis. That's this Das, these Talmidim who come to be Niskari, but they're not Mevatel their Das completely. That's the one whom Rabbeinu Zal warns that the Mishpat isn't powerful enough to be Machnia the Ra. It's Pirish, this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara says there that they asked Hillel Hazokein Mipneima Einehem Shel Talmudim Trutos. Why is it that the eyes of the people from Talmud are trutois? They're very close together, like they're bridge of the nose. They don't really have a bridge of the nose. It looks like the eyes are just about coming together. What does Talmud symbolize? Zebechinas Rishoim She'ein Mekavon Geremehem. Talmud were a people about whom the Gemara says in several places, Ein Mekablim Gerim in Talmudim, that this was a nation from whom we never accept Gerim, period. They were so evil. So we see that the term Talmudim symbolizes those whom it's osur to be mekarev. V'chol ha-mekarvom einehem trutos. And those who are mekarev then, what happens is their eyes get messed up. Meaning, zebechinas kilkul Shabbos. This causes a kilkul to Shabbos, to the bechina of Shabbos. We said previously in the Torah that Shabbos was the bechina of the eyes, the shin, the klas gavnim de'ena, u'basayim. Shin plus government, the inner bas basayim. Bechinas kilkul hachoimo ubayis kanal. This causes a kilkul to the choim and the bayis, the ashirus, which comes from Shabbos. The whole ashirus of a person comes from Shabbos. שהם בחינס עיניים, כי עין על שם החוכמה נאמרה, because the eyes refer to chokhma, the whole wisdom of a person, כמו שקוצר את הפוסק says, ותפוקחנו עיני שניהם, their eyes were open in wisdom, פיקח, chokhma. ועל הנפש נאמר, about the nefesh, the פוסק says, טוב מראה עיניים מהלך נפש. We see a connection between the eyes and the nefesh. Rabbi Nizal says, וזה בחינס פגם הכעס. We know that kas also causes a pigam in the eyes. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Oshisho mikas eini. My eyes became clouded through anger, through kas. So we see how all of these items, ashirus and kas and nefesh, are all hooked up to the eyes. Bebechinas, ashirus. Ashirus is also hooked up to the eyes. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Berevais hatoiva rabu eichleho. That when there's plentiful goodness and plenty to eat, what is better for a person than the sight of his eyes? His eyes become excellent. So we see that there's a connection between Ashirus and Ikleach HaRa'ois. Now the Gemara says, now Rabbi Nizal explains, Mepnei ma einehem trutois hainu nekul kolin b'chol habachinois einin hanal. Why is it that the eyes become spoiled in all of these cases? When a person goes out to be mekarev, those who aren't roi to become miskarev, kigoyin hatarmudim, like this people, this nation of Tarmud. Beheshiv Hillel, and Hillel is going to answer this question by saying, mipnei shedorin bein hacholos, because they live among the sands, and the sun shines off the sands, and this causes their eyes to squint, this causes their eyes to get messed up. This is what the Gemara says. Rabbi Nizal says, "Mepnei shehem dorim bein acholos haynuj sheelu harishoyim hatzlochosom kol kach chazok ad sheein yecholos bekoyach hamishpot lahachni harishoson." These rishoyim at times can have so powerful a hatzlocha where there isn't koyach in the koyach hamishpot of a tzaddik to be machni their rishus. Where do we see this? Vezehu, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Yochilu derochov bechol eis." That his ways, the ways of Rishon, sometimes can be matzliach in so for so long a period of time, moroi mishpotecha minegdoi, to the point where Hashem's mishpot is above him, opposite him, meaning Hashem can't even get to him with his mishpot. He's free from judgment, this Rosh Rachmanot Zlan. They said, bein hacholos, because they live bein hacholos. Cholos here refers to bechinas yochilu, hatzlocha, because they live in a state of hatzlocha. Bechinas hatzlochoson ad she'en mishpot kenegdom, to the point where mishpot can't even work against them. V'zeh yodua, Rabbi Nizal says this is known, shetzorech mishpot kanal, that in order to be mekarev nefoshos, it requires mishpot, it requires constant reflex action, it requires the right hand and the left hand. It requires shodayim. We said that the tzaddik emes is the one who nurses with milk. Shodayim is the bechin of smoil doiche, yamin mekarev. There has to be both things. Mishpot, Rabbein is all having Torah based, that tzedakah is bechin of mishpot. Why? You're giving to one and you're taking from one. You're taking away from yourself, you're giving to one. Being mekarev people requires constantly being mekarev and being merachek. And if this one is one who can't handle mishpat, the mishpat can't work against him, then when you show the hisrachkos, he'll go crazy from it. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh yodua shetzorach mishpat kanal." Umach ma shemoroi mishpat minendom, and because the mishpat can't touch them, al yidei zeh bechinas ha'ayin bekilkul. This causes chas v'shalom, the eyes of the one who tries to be mekarev them, to become mekulkul chas v'shalom. Now Rav Mosazal points out, Plus nafkin mechad, the Torah which we had, Torah nun ches, which begins with the words three come from one, the zois haTorah shel haHechel haKodesh, and this Torah of Hechel haKodesh, shneihem ne'emru ki echod, were both said at one time, b'Torah achas, as one Torah, al posuk ashrei ha'om yoidei serua. Rabbi Nizal said these two Torahs together, one Rosh Hashanah, imagine sitting at a shir on Rosh Hashanah, having these two Torahs, so you can imagine, and this is, nobody could compare writing it down to hearing it from the one who said it. You could imagine, I'm saying there's no way to imagine what this was like. Ach achakach kishekosvom, however, after Rosh Hashanah, When Aben Ezra wrote down these Torahs, Cholkom v'shnei Torahs, he divided them into two separate Torahs. U'kashekibalti me'itoi Torahs elu b'chsav. And when Rav Nosson Zal says, when I received from Rabbeinu Zal these Torahs in writing, Omar Li, he said to me, Chilaktim l'shnayim. You can see that I divided them to two. The Hevan, the Rav Nosson Zal says, I understood, Shehoyoi kavona bazeh, that there was special kavona in this. Rabbeinu Zal must have had a very special reason for making two Torahs out of one. V'Hashem yodea kavonasai. We can't understand Rabbeinu Zal's kavonas. Hashem knows his reasons. This is where we'll hold it for now. Baruch Hashem. Now you'll see that this Torah, these two Torahs, literally lead into the next one. And the next one, again, I stress, is one of the unique Torahs in the whole Sefer Likutei Moharan. It's in a class of its own for a lot of reasons, because this is the Torah that's pretty much a pirush on the whole Sefer Sipurei Maaseiyos. Hashem, I wish you were to learn it, and to understand it, and to follow what's written here.
Who's sitting at Rosh Hashanah, this being said, really in grasp of being said, and something really have to study?
The answer is most definitely not. As was the case, if a person had eyes, in other words, that's why I said so many times that the person who was Zerecha to become the Sarif, the Rebbe, saw Rabbeinu Zal come alive, saw Moshe Rabbeinu come alive. In other words, I recall in his Sardis to Rebbe Zal, whatever you learned in the Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu, or whatever Rav Nosson Zal wrote about Likutei Moharan, I saw it in this person, exactly. Meaning, that Rebbe Zal gave a shiur on Shabbos, 90 to 95% of the people there got very little from it. 90 to 95? What was the whole purpose of it? Why didn't he lock 2-3 big letters? The answer is because that's the way it has to be. It has to be offered to the public, and the public is usually too stupid, too dumb, too idiotic to take advantage of it. To make sure to listen carefully and to prepare carefully and to make sure to write it down afterwards, that no word should go lost and it should be great, and have displayed this afterwards on the shiur to make from Torah Tefillah. That was the case here, and that's the case in every generation before and after. Moshe Rabbeinu gave shiurim to his Talmidim, you wouldn't deny that, right? What's pshat that after the whole Moshe Rabbeinu we hear of only one thing, Yeshua? Where were the other Talmidim? What happened? Why if Rabbeinu Zal is so little left, writing-wise, is just about nothing for many of the other Talmudim. One Talmud left over writings, so the others left nothing. It's written because that's the way it is in every single generation. You look, you wait, you be patient, you'll see if it's the same in this generation. Alavai, each one of us gets smart, makes sure that he's not from those who fall to the wayside. As Rabbeinu Zal said in this Torah, Kama v'kama naiflin, many, many who fall away. And a person looks now it looked, let's say a year ago, it looked like a funny, it would have been a joke. Not a year ago, it's 10 o'clock back 3 years. 3 years isn't a long time. 3 years ago, you would point to somebody here and say, you're going to leave, you're going to fall, chas v'shalom. A person would have looked at you like you were off the wall, completely insane. I wouldn't leave, give me $1 million, I wouldn't leave here for a minute. I wouldn't leave here for a minute, give me $1 million, give me $2 million, I'd spit at you. And this is 1 year or 2 years. Picture 20 years. Turn the clock ahead 20 years. I challenge anybody, including myself, to say that you're sure that the Rishima is going to remain with you. You're talking about an imprint that has to weather one wave after another wave. Each one has whole waves going over him. And depending on how seriously he took the Iskaris, or depending on how seriously he takes the words of Torah, the words of Torah of this tzaddik, or the words of Torah of that tzaddik, that's how he can dream that he'll be left. Because Rabbeinu Zal said in this Torah, Hamishar b'tziyoyim, v'hamishar b'yushalayim, kodesh em avayim. That's not a normal title. Kodesh, that's the highest title in the entire Torah. The Zohar Kodesh says, kodesh, kodesh, kodesh equals kodesh. Kodesh is the peak. Kodesh is the name not given to tzaddikim, to the nishtim, those who remain. That's Kodesh. Why? Because it's going to be hilarious. Just like in Rabbeinu Zal's time, all breast, you have a Kodesh Bayar that describes Talmud after Talmud, tzaddik, goyim, this one made mikvahs, this one did this. And what's left? What remained of their breast life? And there were very few where there's something left. The truth, I'm saying, this isn't deep. This is nothing fancy, talking in simple terms. what each one asked himself, how close he is to Rav Nosenthal. Rav Nosenthal was able to say about himself that he was mevatel his das completely. I heard one word here, I knew I had one word. I heard two words, I had two words. Anything that I thought on my own was nothing. There was no cover. That's why he became who he became. And anybody who was any less than him, it showed that there was less das. Anyone who was more bechinas erev rav was less bechinas talmid. That's what it boils down to. Harvai, we should daven to be zechet to be from the Nishan. That's wrong. It's as simple as that. Because it's obvious that it's not a long way to go. But it's obvious also that it's not going to remain as easy as it is now. That we promise anybody. Every second it gets harder. Every second. And nobody knows when the Malach wakes up and he crosses off another name from the list and he goes to the next customer. Who's next? This is the one I'm going to deal with until I beat him. That's all. That's his. He has patience. He has, you know, he's very learned, the sucker.
Is there a certain like powerful level of guidance? In other words, like some people, they may be like sort of.
The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham, there is a tolerable level, although there's a lot of explanation about that. The statement that was said out of Breslov regarding that topic was, Tayavas Hashem, Kol Gvamim. Any iota of Gaiva is disgusting.
But if you sort of like converted into...
Yeah, I'm saying there's a whole topic in the Galochas about being Mechazik itself, Vayigbaliba Gedati Hashem. But the fact still remains that if you look, forget about Breslov, open up a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. In a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there's one simon where he talks about midas. And he talks about this midah, it's good to have some of this, a little, and you have to know how to control this, right, blah, 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 blah. Then there's one sif where he talks about Gaiva, and he says, this is in a category of its own. This is the one item where it's osur, betachlis, completely.
Everybody has it. I mean, it's a lot of avodah. I mean, halavai, you're married to get rid of it. Here, you keep him a car with somebody who has it. I mean, doesn't everybody have it before he starts working on himself?
No.
Are people without gaiva at all?
Will you tell me? Are there people? I'll ask the question the other way. You just said that what is gaiva? What are the people who can't become this guy? Das. Do you know anybody who has das? I can vouch for myself that I don't. Let's be honest now. Nothing fancy now. Gaiva is totally in das, meaning you realize that you know a certain amount, and therefore it's gaiva. You realize that you're something, which means if a Rebbe smacks you in the face in front of 30 people, you're going to turn purple, you're going to want to kill him, period. You're going to really get angry. Or if he insults you in any way, or if he hurts you, I'm saying any variation, the only thing that could lead to that is if you're something. I also know. If you really, really thought you knew nothing, it's no problem.
That's really? Already a high level to feel you know nothing. If you take a kid in sixth grade who knows maybe a little bit of Chumash, you think he's himself a big time on top of.
Okay, you took a kid in first grade. Try to insult him. Try to take a baby and insult him. True. The answer is that's what it boils down to, acting like a kid. The person we're able to maintain, Rav Nosenthal said, I'll form an exam, right? Because if you're old, you stop being able to draw. If you're young, a kid is always curious, a kid is constantly asking questions. Parents who have children know. Kid can't stop asking questions. Comment, the view of the kid is a smart. You should learn everything that Rav Nosenthal did. Unless he becomes, I'm here 3 years already, I'm here 5 years already, he's a zucking already. That's when suddenly the sponge starts drawing up and it shrivels up and becomes nothing.
That's already a darga. I mean, that's
a... I say very honestly, there's two ways of looking at it. There's one way to look at it, like anibus is the peak to get to, it's the highest thing to get to. There's another way of looking at it, that anibus is easy. In other words, anibus is the nature. It's like the koyach hamachriach and the koyach hamashich. Rabbi Nazar says if you just let yourself fall, you're going to fall into the lap of the Tzadik Emes. He's the magnet. The Nafshi Kabbalah Kopir. If you simply don't put up any Koyach HaMachuyach, the nature is going to be that you're going to fall. You know how you present? In order to be far from the Tzadik Emes, you must be putting up a fight. Yeah, which is the fight? Yeah, you must sort of guide up. You have to create guide up. You're born with anibus.
the Rebbe's will say it's done very odd to the Sefer Torah.
Right. Why? Again, because a person is stupid. It's Dal Geya. The less Seichel there is, the more Gaiva there is. That's Stam, the insanity. There's a Malach who tries to work on you. But if a bird, I'm saying, there's no way it's cold.
Good night.
It's cold Chadla from Adam Hashem, I believe that each person knows whether it's something difficult or something easy. And if a person would ever really be Miyashid himself, he would come up with the fact that it's not that hard. Alamai again, mishpat, as simple as that.
His definition of mishpat?
Judgment. The less hispaitedness a person has, the more gaiva a person has. Because hispaitedness is breaks anocha shayver as kupay shalom. It breaks the person down to nothing. It makes him to nothing.
To have less judgment.
Right. And you look at a person who has gaiva, and then you look through him and you see that there's no spider. It's such a sick thing. It's like insane. The guy doesn't even realize that a person could see right through him, could see that it's just Shibi Howie, like the S.Y. say, a bag of wind. That's what it is. We were talking this Shabbos about chametz. Chametz is the expression that's always used for the sitra achra. Matzah is kedusha. Why? Because chametz is gaiva and matzah is amibus. That's one of the whole sotam in a nutshell. It's very much as simple as that.
Yeah, right. Once you know about a gem and you know about how you have to come to it, you're saying you can't even carve somebody who has the gaiva. I mean,
right.
Somebody starting at ground zero and there's nothing about Torah is going to be really filled. I think automatically filled with gaiva at that time. Only when he starts learning, he's going to realize he has to. But it was the gaiva.
Can I ask you a question? What is all? We can discuss it in his head.
He was working on himself for years already.
Okay.
And it was just kind of, it was already like a Bahamish Lema, the higher Madrega.
Right.
But I mean, the average person who has never studied kind of a Bavan Sashem, who has no awareness of Torah and Mitzvahs. I mean, you're taught in school.
Let me ask you a question. You've dealt with people a lot of times.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet the person who, without having taught him anything, he comes to you and you see difference? You see that there's no Bible. The guy's coming with no big ears.
The fact he's coming is already, he realizes he's missing something.
Right.
And he's coming, he's missing something.
Right.
But you go to someone who parables, and stop someone in the street corner and say, I want to tell you about Torah and Mitzvot.
Right.
Okay, the average person is at that point filled with a lot of gaiva.
Right. Did he get that naturally or he built it up?
It was built up.
Okay, that's what it is. It required building.
But the whole system of what you want from your parents and you learn in school is building up your gaiva.
Right.
So all these people shouldn't be in his car?
The answer is, if you see one who has a certain degree of gaiva, how big a degree, I can tell you stories, incidents with Rebizar, where he saw a iota of gaiva, which I thought was this big. And he said, this person, you'll never speak to again, tell you. Realize how wild an item that is to say. Those you're saying for eternity, this guy lost his chance to have anything to do with wrestling, if it's sometimes. Because a guy made a comment that had a little bit of vibe on it. Wasn't said viciously or anything. The answer is most definitely, yeah, nothing fancy at all. This is what it is. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a million on even. Why? Because he sorted out. There's Rabbeinu brings like Torah later on, the Mephoshim bring a pasuk about Yeshua Novi, about Yeshua. The Samach Yadavara, blah, blah, blah. The last letters of that pasuk are the words Ono Ata, period. That's why he finished. That's the case in every time saying, learn any sefer you want, look at any Rebbe and Talmud combination, Reb Chaim Kalzal and Yalizal. Reb Chaim Kalzal writes in a sefer, you'll see the words that he writes. You know, you would think that this is such a, it's a wild, crazy kind of gaiva. He writes that anything that you're going to see from any other Talmud of my Rebbe, you are to ignore. In other words, if it's against something I'm saying, then surely it's off the wall. Even if it seems to agree with what I'm saying, I'm telling you, don't learn it, because don't trust your eyes. One, and only one, was Mekabel the right way exactly. He testified about me that I'm the one who can write his phone, blah, blah, blah. Those are the exact words that he writes. And the Chidozal, in other words, all the ones who follow, the ones who Rebbe Zal quoted, steal. You wouldn't catch them for $1 million quoting another Talmud of the Arizal. Now, who are we talking about here? Talmud of the Arizal. Arizal once said, one of the stories that's brought in the Kisvei Arizal is, they once came into the Idra Kadisha, into that room,
The Arizal stood at the entrance where Shimon Yochai's seat was. He said, you take a seat over there. You sit over there. You sit over there. They were sitting in those seats. And the Arizal said, I'm going to sit over here. And this is the same course. We're reenacting what took place a few generations ago. Each one, according to where you're sitting, that's where you are. They were Tanonim. And yet, one, and only one, was the one who received exactly the Moyach of the Rebbe. As this book about Rebbe Nizal and Mosizal, that Rebbe Nachman is Moyach, with the two noons on the outside, could be Mitzam's name. You know, based on what Rebbe Nizal says in Per Aleph, but Mosizal's name, the Tuf in the middle, the Shimo, with the two noons, could be Mitzam's name. No other Talmud received Rebbe Nizal's Das. We have no question about it. And what was cut? And I, what about Rav Naftali Zal? What about this one? What about Rav Naftali Zal? What about all the others? We'll give you the best example, and again, Chas V'Shalom, that we're saying that Rav Naftali Zal was Koirach. But Koirach was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Pikeach, he was a Goyim, he was a Tzaddik. He was a Tzaddik. And Koirach's complaint was, Ki Kol Goyim Kulam Kedoshim. Why are you better? We all were at Har Sinai, Kulam Shalom Mehar Sinai, we were all Talmidim and a Rebbe. Who made you the boss? That's what made him cry out. Rav Naftali Zal never said that, and the other Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal, most of them, never said that. There is a hint in the Kirch Be'er to the fact that there was Machlokes, no question about it. After the Nistalkas of Rabbeinu Zal, the majority fell away. We're going to have a story soon, which I was going to mention on the Shabbos year coming up, discussing where they daven. The Rosh Hashanah, after Rabbeinu Zal was nostalgic, a debate came up as to which shul to daven in. And the majority, the vast majority of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim did not daven in the same shul as Rav Moshe Zal. You know what you're talking about? This is an Oman, in the city of Oman. We don't have that story, it's a shame in detail. Do you hear what's being said? They went to Oman, and in Oman, Rabbeinu Zal specified which shul he wanted them to daven in. They daven in the knowledge. Why? You think he came out and went over to each guy and said, daven here? He said it in a way, obviously, it could be taken any way you wanted, blah, blah, blah. And the two or three were smart enough. One guessed right. We'll have that story in the Hashem. Exactly what, the way he worded it, it says the name, so I understand. And a person just looking today can see how all of this is possible. It's nothing fancy. It's not that it's a Rosh Hashanah. It's a Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal. Talking about super tzaddikim, it's just that each one is mekabel differently. The Baal Shem Tov is Talmidim. You would look at any Talmid, you couldn't recognize. You would figure if this one learned from a rabbi, this one learned from a priest. That's how different they were. Each one was day and night from the other one. This one davened loud. This one whispered. This one jumped. This one stood frozen. All Talmidim of a Rebbe, but there was one Talmud, the Mr. Chimanitzel, who contained within himself the whole Rebbe. And how did his Iskandar start off? He mentions the Baal Shem Tov shook and put a fear in him. He scared the daylights out of him. He came, he asked him, you know how to learn? Yeah. Teach, say this piece of Kisei Arizal. He said it. He said, I don't like your pshat. Mr. Chimanitzel said, really? Okay, give me another few minutes. I'll look it over again. I'll see. Maybe I made a mistake. Are you going to... He looked it over again, he said, I'm positive that what I'm saying is right, no question. However, if you think differently, he said to Baal Shem Tov, respectfully, if you think differently, then I'm willing to listen. Baal Shem Tov said, okay, get up. They were sitting there, and he said, get up. He got up. He said, now I'm going to say a piece from Yetz Chaim, where he lists names of Malachim. He started saying the piece. He mentioned this Malach's name, the Malach came into the room. The whole room lit up with fire. He went further, the next Malach, the Malach came and lit up with fire. And you could imagine how he scared the daylights out of the Mizruch Shemar Nizal. So the Mizruch Shemar Nizal, when he finished, Mizruch Shemar Nizal said, however, was my pshat right? He said, yeah, you know how to learn right, but it's without fire. If you stay here, I'll give you fire. And he told his shamas to go home, and he ended up staying there. Rav Moshe Zal, who is the epitome of anivus, super perfection. You think it was no bechina? What happened when Rav Moshe Zal came to Rabbeinu Zal? And Rabbeinu Zal told him all the three stories, and one of the stories was the story about which Talmud Rav Moshe Zal? Rav Michal. He said, Michal abis tamoretz, and he grabbed him. And Rav Moshe Zal said that that's the thought that was going through his mind at that moment. He looked at Rabbeinu Zal first, he was full of pachah, and he was filled, maybe not. Maybe he's a big tzaddik, you know, maybe not. Maybe there's nothing to be afraid of. And Rabbi Nissan foresaw it, and he scared it out of him. Really, it was a bechina. On one hand, it's the biggest bechina in the world. On the other hand, if a person had any iota of sechel, who would understand how low, how ridiculous, how silly it is for us, for it to be a test for us. Read this sefer and try to tell, you know.
But somebody has. I'm talking about good God, people care of someone else. Do you really have to come to it? And our constituent says, I'm nothing, I want to hear? Or do you talk with people at work or people in your family?
The answer is yes, but if you see gaiva, it's a sign back off.
A lot of gaiva, a normal gaiva, I mean, any, you know.
That takes signs to judge. The answer is, a person who saw how Rabbi Zalai acted would have learned that, you know, to a tremendous degree. But, the answer is, at times you go, you have to judge. It's a feel. It's like a feel that you have. Sometimes a guy could display tremendous anger, but you know it's just, he's dumb. I'll smack him a little and he'll get back in his place.
Aside from you, let's take anybody here, any of us. Can anyone say that you heard that somebody talked against you and an author was being spread about you, that you don't care? Anyone say they don't care? Okay.
Well,
were you serious? Yeah, I don't know if anybody thinks you, anybody says about you.
Besides wanting to kill the person, I have no feeling.
No, I mean, seriously?
A lot of times I couldn't kill it. Sometimes I care,
everybody is that way. You have to work on it. Human nature, what's the problem?
Somebody insults you, it doesn't bother you. I mean, I know it shouldn't, but I'm saying,
Of course it does, but it pays tremendous power. We should be zecher to that one quality which determines whether a person is in or a person is out. A person is unable to see in, a person doesn't.